I'd ask you to turn to Exodus, the third chapter. We will be looking there at the whole concept of cost. Let us pray again. Our gracious Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give you thanks for an opportunity to hear again your word. May we understand that we are here for your word and your word alone. May the Holy Spirit open our hearts and minds, make our thoughts acceptable to you, and my word fitting for pointing to your word alone. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We do thank all those who have served, but also I can say, as a pastor over the last 34 years, and as one who's grandmother and great-grandparents were from the Seventh-day Adventist tradition. I've also served, had people in my church at times that felt the call to serve, but in a non-violent way. We remember that wonderful movie of the Hacksaw Ridge of the Seventh-day Adventist, Desmond Doss, who answered the call, but a long conscious way. That's in a far different category than those that don't answer the call at all. And that's the topic this morning. For in my field, we also talk of calls. If you read the scripture, you'll see hundreds of times in which God's call came upon someone. If you have walked with the Lord more than 15 minutes, there have probably been calls that you have interacted with. Not always major calls like leave everything and go to a foreign country. Maybe simply a call to walk across the room and extend the love of God to someone who's being ignored. The call to serve in a particular way in the community or the church. And generally these calls come with certain patterns. Just about every one of them in Scripture, and see if you resonate with this. The first thing, God comes and calls you to something that seems impossible or inconvenient or just somewhat distasteful. Have you ever received a call that you knew God was calling you to do it, and you just simply had picked on someone else? Like Jeremiah of old, you said, Lord, you sort of tricked me here. You apprehended me. So that initial call came like you did to Moses. And the second part of that pattern is we resist. We try to dismiss it by some noble sounding excuse. We can't speak well, is what Moses said. Or maybe we're too young. Or maybe we're too old. Maybe we're too holy. Or maybe we're not holy enough. Maybe it's too small a job. I'm waiting for a bigger thing that you want me to do, Lord. Or maybe it's too big. I want a trivial task. Maybe it's too soon. Maybe it's too far away. But the second part of that pattern is we sort of resist it. And we see Moses doing that. The third part of every call is after we resist it, God gives a promise. He comes back and reassures us with a promise. And we see that in verse 12 in Exodus 3. We all have different calls. We all have different situations. But there's only one promise. There's only one antidote. There's only one thing we can cling on to. And that's in verse 12 when God says, but I will be with you. I will be with you. That is the promise. And then the fourth part of that pattern is if we go, if we believe God's word, if we submit to the calling like Jesus Christ did, we will see God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, accomplish that which He's called us to do. Now, I have to tell you up front, if you get a call and you can do it on your own, it's not a call from the Lord. It may be a call, it may be something you want to do, but when God calls you, It's more along the lines of where St. Augustine prayed, Lord, command me to do anything you want, but then you're going to have to be the one to do it. If God calls us to do that which is on our own, we can't do it. There's a distinction we must make between our calling and our career. Some of us, and I'm highly privileged to be able to say this, our calling and our careers are the same. For most of the people that occupy the church body, their career is how they earn their money, but their calling is where God leads them to a point where His grace, their desire, and the need in a certain situation all come together to see God's grace. But I want to answer just very quickly four different statements about calls. And the first thing I want to say is, it sounds quite blunt, but only you can answer your call. No one else can answer your call. Jeremiah said, or God said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you. So you have a unique place that no one else can minister to. In a wonderful book that was written in the late 70s by a British named Douglas Hyde, he had served, and this is somewhat anachronistic now, because we live on this side of the Berlin Wall coming down. But he wrote a book called Leadership and Dedication. And he wanted to look at, because Hyde had been a part of the British Communist Party, and he wanted to look at, in the late 70s or 60s when he became a Christian, to compare how come Christianity had been so slow in moving, 1800 years, 1900 years, and still trying to make inroads compared to the Communist Party, which seemed like in a century had made such great strides. And I wanted to compare. And two major things came from this conclusion. One, he said, is the Communist Party understood the principle that if you make big demands, you get big responses. And if you make small demands, you get little responses. And he said that the Christian church had laid down the claim that God has a divine work He wants each one of you to do. What you do is not mundane. You have a ministry that I can never have. You are called to talk with certain people, to be in certain settings, to be in certain work, family, other places that no one else can. And it is divine work, and no one can do it but you. And if you don't answer the call, it won't be done. The second thing I pointed out is that there was a deep understanding and a slogan among the Communist Party is that every workbench was a pulpit. And every worker was a preacher. And they understood that they went out answering the call that only they could answer. Only you can answer your call. The second thing I want to say is only you can develop your call. We're told to be all the more diligent to make your calling sure. Jeremiah 1:17, 12 verses after the one which said, I knew you and I formed you. And even though we were formed by God in the womb, there's a work that we have to do in the Holy Spirit. In verse 17 of that first chapter of Jeremiah, it says, now dress yourself for work. The King James said that beautiful, gird up your loins. You've got to get ready. It just doesn't happen. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians, we'll see gifts that God has given. In Ephesians 4, in this baptismal sermon, Paul outlines these gifts that are given to the church. And if you'll begin reading along with me in Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, and he, namely God, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And the saints are not the pastors, the saints are all you. That's why All Saints Day is everyone in the body of Christ. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. See, we are given this task. You are given this gift. You're given a call. Not only to raise your hand, because you'd be in that tough spot where you would have to raise your hand, but you wouldn't want to raise your hand because you don't want to be that vulnerable. So I'll just tell you, don't raise your hand. But do you know what it is to feel inadequate? Do you know what it is to feel that you're not up to what God's called you to do? Either a long-term thing or just a peculiar thing. Do you sometimes look at others and think, you know, I could do my work better if I had their skill set? If I had what they had, I could do what I'm called to do. I think we all feel this way. I think the best remedy to cure that way of thinking is that old conversation that was overheard of a gentleman that's drinking his coffee, and he looked at that little thing that holds the packet, and he puts one, there's only one packet there, so he puts one packet of sugar in it, and he says to the waitress as he goes to stir it, he says, I always put two packets of sugar in my coffee. And she just said, honey, just stir what you got. Brothers and sisters, that's good advice spiritually. Don't long for more. Don't look around and think, well, I only had that. Just stir what you have. And trust that what you have, with the work and grace of the Holy Spirit, will be adequate to perform that calling you have. The third thing I want to say is only you can protect your calling. You have to protect it. 1 Peter says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We protect our call by submitting every decision to it. I liked watching for a while on Netflix, The Crown. And some of you may have watched that. And I remember in one of the early episodes, it was a dynamic where Philip, who was quite accomplished on his own, had married Elizabeth, I think she was. And he struggled that he had to play second fiddle to his wife. For he was this dynamic, heroic man on his own, and now he's in the shadow of. He is the one who's having to kowtow and follow her. And in one heated discussion, he in great anger says to her, do you mean I have to spend the rest of my life in the submission to that bloody crown? And she said very calmly, we all live in submission to the crown. Brothers and sisters, we protect our call by understanding that that is the most precious thing that God has given us. He's called us His children, and then He's tasked us to serve in His kingdom. He's called us into His body, but we're not just a freelance part of the body. We don't just float around in this body. He's placed us in His body as a particular part. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, we're not to diminish it, we're not to ignore it. We're to protect it, we're to honor it. If you're the foot, be the best foot you can be. If you're the elbow, don't complain that you're not right hand. Protect your call. Treasure your call. And then the final thing that I would say is only God can empower your call. See, in the first part of Ephesians 4, I read the second part where it told us all the things we needed to do. But that's based on the first part of Ephesians 4, which begins like this. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is only one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ here. You've been given grace. You were in baptism, killed, so that you could rise and walk in newness of life. The great missionary, and I'd like to close with this thought, William Carey. He was a great missionary in India. And he said that people that go out into the world to serve, whether it's in India or the workshop or neighborhood that you're going to go to tomorrow, that it's like going into a cave. And you can only go in comfort in the cave if there's a rope tied to you. And William Carey told the church, he said, I'll go into the cave. You just hold the rope. Brothers and sisters, that's what we are as a church. As we are together as one, we go into our individual places of ministry, our individual caves, but we know we're all tethered to each other. And we're all tethered to the Lord. And like Moses, all we must do is through the power of the Holy Spirit, remember His promise. I will be with you wherever you go. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the Apostles' Creed. You can find it on page 881 if you would like. As one, we confess our faith, brothers and sisters. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He arose from the dead, He ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
You'll join me in your Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed be your name throughout the earth, Lord God, for you have created wonders and from the beginning have drawn every living thing into communion with you. In the bounty of your creation, you fashioned land and sea, sun and stars, plants and animals, that we might know the constancy of your love for us. In covenant life, you drew people to yourself to give and receive love in your name. In the fullness of time, you drew near to us in your Son, to bind us to you in the promise of everlasting life. In every time and place, you offer us brothers and sisters with whom to live your ways of forgiveness and grace. In every age, you surround us with a company of saints, that we might be bound to one another in that world that you so love. And so with the company of earth and heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn.
Holy, 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 Lord, God of mine, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of holy unity, you are perfectly three and perfectly one. For many, make your people one in you. Sanctify your church around the world and transform our fractures into fruitfulness. Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and after he gave you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God, the one Father of us all, you gather us in one faith, one hope, and one baptism. Draw near to your children when their lives are overshadowed by what divides, where words have not yet ceased, come quickly. Where hostility tears apart, brothers and sisters, open your path of peace. Where the relationship between your people and your creation falters, renew our awe in the wonders you have made. Where your church's diversity fails to reflect the glorious kaleidoscope of your kingdom, lead us to greater love and wider mercy than we have ever before imagined. Hasten the day when we who share Christ's body will join him in perfect and holy communion, in the everlasting embrace of the Holy Spirit, as you draw all things to yourself, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's table. And at the Lord's table, I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come forward and to partake. We partake by intention. I'll hand you a part of the bread. You will dip it into the chalice. And we will receive together the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As he has sent us into the real world, so he comes with his real body and blood for us to strengthen and heal us. We invite you to come to this table. After you come to the tank, we invite you to come to the communion railing. If you remember someone in prayer, the card here that you could take and send to them, let them know you remembered them in prayer. If you would like prayer for yourself or another, Katie will be over to my left. You can join her in prayer. This is the Lord's table. Let's come and celebrate the feast.